Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with our unique teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie, and Erev Tov to you all. So far in 2024, we have been refreshing ourselves on how to properly disciple new believers in some basic knowledge so that they can move forward in Jesus as quickly as possible to total sanctification, so they too can witness and disciple. For we really are living in the last days. Therefore, evangelism is extremely important right now. So, to add to the past weeks, another way to grow in Him is to search for typology, particularly in the Old Testament. And tonight, we will look at some examples of that. But first, let us rejoice to be alive at such a time as this.
Abba, Father, our sweet Lord, we greatly rejoice in knowing you and you knowing us. We listen for your voice and follow you alone. Thank you for your word that empowers us and brings us closer to you. We lift up to you those Christians who seldom read your word. May they recognize the many benefits of spending serious time with you. We pray for our recent prayer requests, our soldiers, and for Israel as they endure their battle against evil. Please continue to entice our unsaved loved ones so they too can be a part of the bride of Christ. We pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, we are finally reciprocating against Iran's proxies.
Yes, for the death of those three soldiers, but also the many who have been wounded since last year. Did you know about 80 airstrikes were rocketed at our soldiers even before October 7th? And I heard, although not confirmed, we lost some soldiers in that spree as well. What's disturbing is Biden, and I think on purpose, gave Iran's proxies plenty of time to move out before we hit their empty storage facilities and warehouses. And more it is confirmed that Obama and his sidekick, remember Valerie Jarrett, who, by the way, was born in Iran, are running the show and protecting Iran. I also listened to a podcast the other day who believes Iran and our other enemies are just anticipating that we deplete our arsenal. Think about how we must use extremely expensive missiles to shoot down their very inexpensive drones.
And Iran has plenty of money.
Well, yeah, because Biden won't enforce the sanctions on them, but time to move on.
Okay, how's Israel's war going?
Well, their defense minister, Gallant, said that they're making great gains. The bad news is our Secretary of State, Blinken, told our State Department to conduct a review and present policy options on possible U.S. and international recognition of a Palestinian state for after the war in Gaza.
Yeah, even if Israel doesn't agree.
I know, that's right. And when I heard that, I immediately reread Daniel 9:27, and it does say the treaty will be confirmed, meaning, of course, already worked on, but it says with many. Israel's name is not specifically mentioned. And also, by the way, looking again at Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36, it does use the pronoun they will divide the land. See how the Holy Spirit shines His light on certain scriptures as we get closer to our rapture?
Yes, it's called progressive learning.
It sure is.
I know you'll be watching this closely.
You think? And what liars we have in our government who say, there has been no policy change and we have Israel's back.
Yeah, hogwash.
The fact that the State Department is even considering such options tells a different story. Because for decades, Palestinian statehood could only be achieved through direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestinian Authority.
Well, things are a-changing.
And the ridiculous border bill, well, that's going to be DOA in the House. Therefore, our border remains wide open, but now they can blame the Republicans.
Even though Biden doesn't need any new laws.
I know, right? He could just shut it down according to the Constitution, you know, like Trump did. And he knows it. And by the way, the number of people pouring over our border now exceeds the U.S. birth count. Also today, the Washington, D.C. court ruled against Trump by ruling against any immunity for prosecution over the January 6th fiasco. And so now Trump will appeal to the Supreme Court, which he knew he'd probably have to do, for the final ruling.
And you wanted to comment on that recent compromise.
Oh, the other recent compromise. Well, yeah, from a well-known senior pastor, by the way, and you probably all know him. His name is Alistair Begg, which left many of us pretty disheartened. You know, I have listened to the Scotsman on and off on the radio for years, even attended his service at Parkside here in Cleveland, but just once as I really prefer smaller gatherings myself.
But certainly impressive.
Yes.
Hey, you know, he's got a wonderful accent.
That as well, which makes him easy to listen to.
And he's highly educated.
Yes, with a degree from the London School of Theology, where it's no secret that European seminaries usually have a liberal bend. In any case, Pastor Begg has always had a sunny reputation, which now sadly has brought in some clouds. Anyway, what he did was he encouraged a grandmother to attend their grandson's gay wedding. And he told her, well, as long as your grandson understands your belief in Jesus, then I suggest that you go to the ceremony and that you bring them a gift.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very revealing.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that prompted a huge backlash and thereby booted him off the American Family Radio Network, who said it should go without saying that there is absolutely nothing compassionate about affirming what God hates. I find it hard to believe that Begg was clueless as to how people would respond to this.
Hasn't he spoke out against homosexuality before?
Yeah, he has. So he understands the sin of it. Yet it's baffling how he can conclude that it is the compassionate thing for Christians to celebrate, and it is a celebration of an in-your-face kind of sin. And the grandmother would be standing alongside some others probably committing it as well.
Thinking their sin is accepted since Christians are attending?
Yeah. But then, after the backlash, you know, after he received that, he still doubled down on his remarks, saying that he was concerned about the well-being of their relationship more than anything else. And I'm not ready to repent over this because I don't have to, he said. Notice specifically the key words here.
More than anything else.
Yeah, as in more than Scripture. The New Testament clearly predicts as we move farther along into the last days, many will depart from sound teaching. Sadly, and this is not a secluded case, we're just not hearing about all the others.
True.
But let me finally say, read Ephesians 5. In fact, could you read verse 11?
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
While remembering to love the sinner, but never condone the act, but rather reprove it.
Amen.
And as you know, Biden put us back into the WHO.
The World Health Organization.
Yes, which Trump removed us from. And the WHO, for the last 2 years, has been working on an international health regulations treaty that at this point has 196 countries, including us, participating, and that Biden has already agreed to sign when the amendments are concluded. And I'm telling you this because one of the regulations is that during any global threat, as in any pandemic, the WHO can make international laws that we would have to obey or go to jail. Obviously, they will confirm this treaty before Biden might leave office.
The amendments are supposed to be voted on, I think, in May.
Well, okay. And, of course, this will eliminate the state's accountability. They can't take the blame for it. And as in future lockdowns, you know, or mandatory vaccinations, etc., this, of course, is the globalist agenda to rule over the world.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. We welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is always received with much gratitude, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us with your donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are archived for your learning pleasure. All right, time for the word.
Okay, good. So far this year, we have covered with many scriptures why we must study the Word.
To be totally sanctified.
And last week was how to put on the armor of God and pointed out the fact you cannot just pray it on, but rather through studying the Word. Because when totally sanctified spirit, soul, and body, the armor is automatically applied and should never come off. We also talked about how to study as in always have your concordance dictionary handy to look up certain words for a more accurate understanding. And we gave a few examples of that important step.
Well, you know, an interlinear is also very helpful.
Oh, for sure. So that way you can look at the actual Hebrew Masoretic text with its English sidebar for a more exact translation. And because scripture interprets scripture, be sure to look at the center columns, you know, the cross-references.
Or sometimes it's on the bottom.
Oh, right, or even on the side of the page. But it shows where similar scriptures are used, which often confirms, hermeneutically, a better comprehension.
Don't forget about the lexicons.
All right, yes, for both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that examines more important words, not all of them, like the concordance does, but rather more vital words, defining it by the contextual meaning used in a particular verse.
Yeah, using any of these methods is all part of studying.
Yep, and keep in mind how studying Scripture is the number one pleasure for God to see and rewards us for it. Through the Holy Spirit, of course, who's our real teacher, by guiding our path to find those gold nuggets, specially hidden for those who study.
Proverbs 25:2.
And remember, Hebrews 12:5 says, we all must be weaned from the milk onto solid food.
Also, take the scriptures literally whenever possible.
Right. Unless it says something is like something else, as we often see in the apocalyptic books. We also need to consider the times it was written, the reason it was written, and the circumstances of the writer when it was inscribed, which is why we need to incorporate our Hebraic roots from no later than, I'd say, the first century. Therefore, to have some basic knowledge of the culture and history of the people we are studying, while remembering that God did not reveal everything to man in the beginning.
Even though it is all in the Bible.
It is. But it's the Holy Spirit who reveals truth at His discretion.
As we said earlier, it's progressive revelation.
Mm-hmm. And He has saved the best for His last generation, as proven by the Holy Spirit, with the discovery of
the Dead Sea Scrolls.
You got it. And boy, are we certainly gaining a lot more knowledge than we can use to even better understand what's going on.
As Daniel 12:4 told us, that knowledge would increase.
Yes, he did.
Okay, time to talk about another way to study, as in typology.
Oh, yes, and that's a favorite of mine. As you all know, the Old Testament contains literal true stories. But do you know that they often have a double, sometimes triple, hidden meaning for a future event? In other words, a picture of Jesus, either his first or his second coming, highlighting end-time events. Typology is a genuine form of predictive prophecy because the Bible is all Jesus, as Psalm 40 verse 7 says and Hebrews 10:7.
In the volume of the scrolls, it is written of me, one of my favorites.
So you can see that the Old Testament is not just a collection of historical tales used for Sunday school.
You can find Jesus in every book in many chapters.
And the discovery of Hebraic coding is seen in many verses, and of course we'll get into that later. But you can, you should have an interlinear Bible so that you can see it yourself.
But very easy.
So what we are saying is that standing somewhere in the shadows, Yeshua can always be seen in his word, which is one reason John says Jesus is the word.
Period. Dot, dot, dot.
So probably the easiest picture to see is that of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22, which takes place sometime long after Isaac was born. As you will likely agree, he was not an early child or even a teenager. But let's begin by reading verse 1.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am.
So these words, now it came to pass after these things, denotes that it didn't just happen right after chapter 21, you know, where Isaac was born, but rather probably years later. And just like Jesus, whom we don't hear much about of his younger life, we do not hear much of Isaac either. So there's your first typology. Let's go to verse 2.
Then he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah,
which is Mount Zion in Jerusalem,
and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
You know, there's actually seven mountains in Jerusalem. Okay, we know from the previous chapter, Abraham disowned Ishmael, that's chapter 21, by sending Ishmael and Hagar into the desert, per Sarah's request. But we also see that God then told Abraham to listen to Sarah, because it was through Isaac that his seed shall be called. It was probably here that Abraham knew he would have to kill Isaac, but that God would resurrect him. How else would the promise come from Isaac's seed?
Well, he surely had to know.
However, God would still bless Ishmael and would be fruitful. But it would be Isaac that was called his only son. So Abraham is a type of God and Isaac a type of Jesus. Verse 3.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him.
Okay, we see here there's a donkey involved and two young men. And we know on Palm Sunday, Jesus sent his two disciples to get the donkey already arranged by God, which Jesus then rode on Palm Sunday, 3 days earlier, headed toward Jerusalem, his place of crucifixion. And we'll see that in verse 4.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off.
So we see here more typology. Abraham saw the mountain where Jesus was later crucified on the north side of the Temple Mount. Verse 5.
And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.
Okay, first of all, notice how Abraham says to the men, we will come back to you. Actually, the original says, I and the boy will come back to you. He knew he had to sacrifice Isaac. So why say they would come back if he didn't know that God would resurrect Isaac? The typology here is God, as in Abraham being a type of God, knew he would also resurrect.
Jesus typology at its finest.
But another important point here is, and what I call a gold nugget, is the word for lad in verse 5 is Nahar, number 5288. And guess what it's the same word used for his young men, also in verse 5, which translates youths in the original. Since Isaac is a type of Jesus, my belief is he was in his 30s, as were the young men. Jesus was probably even 33, as was Isaac. People lived longer in those days, and to be in your 30s is certainly a young person, to around 40, and actually still is today, at least in our eyes, huh? Verse 5.
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together.
Of course, another obvious typology, that Isaac was carrying the wood as Jesus would also carry the wooden cross. Verses 7 and 8.
But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together.
This word together is yakad, number 3162, and it means, wait for it, united in one accord. So did Isaac know too, as Jesus knew ahead of time? You know, in the Septuagint and the Jerusalem Bible, the word for, F-O-R, is not in Abraham's answer after the word provide, when he said God will provide himself, the lamb. He was the lamb for a burnt offering. That was a prophecy, as Jesus would be that lamb. And we'll see God substitutes Isaac with a ram, not a lamb. So definitely a prophecy. And verse 9.
Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
So Isaac had to know by this time, as Jesus did. Of course, we know God stopped it and provided a ram whose horns were caught in the thicket, which is a type of the crown of thorns. And in verse 14, Abraham prophesied and renamed the place Yahweh Jireh, meaning, in the mount of the Lord shall be seen. And the Hebrew word for seen is 7200, raha, which also means to provide. How about that? Well, I hope this week you will slowly read Genesis 22 and see if the Holy Spirit shows you any other pictures. And also, you might want to try the Book of Ruth. That has a boatload of pictures for your typological learning. So, if you don't know the Lord, repent and invite Him in, for He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. You probably have that memorized. All right, Shalom, till next time. Tell someone about Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.